this beautiful Sabbath.
To appreciate the words, the ancient words that you have left for us. Care about what you have to say to us. Care about making another part of our instructed us to be part of our lives. Care about you. Appreciate you, what you've done for us, and the relationship. We pray that that grows today. Ways we can't even imagine. So we're going to wrap up today our discussion, our long-running discussion on the Sabbath day and observance of the Sabbath. And so to begin with that, we're going to go back and read from Exodus chapter 20 and from Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll read these verses once again. Mike, would you be willing to read the Exodus 20? Starting in verse 8, reading through the rest of the Sabbath commandment.
Yeah.
It'll be a test for audio as well, so.
Okay. It better project. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. My footnote says hallowed or sanctified. It means that it's set aside.
Set aside. Okay. Yes.
Around a year ago, I saw a really interesting video of some people who lived in, I forget, it was Montana or someplace in the West and in the mountain area. They had a beaver pond on their place. And they noticed they would go out and see the beavers every so often. And then they were Seventh-day Adventists and they wanted to see, they would go out and visit the beavers on Sabbath and watch them. Because the beavers, you know, the same, working like a beaver, implies they're working from dawn to dark and 7 days a week. So they went out on Sabbath. The beavers weren't there. They were in their what do they call it? And they addressed that. Maybe the beavers moved away or migrated. They went out next Sabbath. I mean, went out Sunday, and the beavers are working my head. They went out next Sabbath. And they said that for the, now they followed them for something like 5 years. Not once did they ever go out there and work on Sabbath. They're either lounging around in the sun or they're munching on some bark or else they're in their den. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. I wonder if other animals that way. And then when I was in the military, I read an article about the Soviet Union was trying to find what's the maximum they could get out of their soldiers in a 24-hour day. And then 7 day week. So they're pushing their soldiers to work up to 18, 20 hours a day to get the maximum out of them. Then, of course, efficiencies fall off. And do force studies and that. And then they started doing other studies on other animals to see what's the correlation and how much rest does an organism need. And they kept studying other animals, and they found that they rested periodically. In other words, on Sabbath, that they did rest. Even one-celled organisms like bacteria stop working 1 day out of 7. And I, this is what that was reported in the Soviet literature. I thought, man, the whole world is made for a 7-day week. And it's that way in all cultures. It doesn't matter whether it's Muslim or it's Christian or Western European or whether it's African, or everybody works on a 7-day week. It's just the way it is. It's not righteous in the East. It's the West. All creation of God's animals are based on a 7-day week with periodic rest. So God set it aside for humans. It's more than for humans. And the commandment even says our
animals. Is that 3:30?
That's really interesting, John, talking about the animals taking a day off. Where is it that says, is it Paul that writes, all creation groans under the weight of sin? And so, thinking about that, we probably see some animals that don't take one day off. They don't suffer for the same time. Thank you, Mike, for reading that. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And there we start with verse 12. Off through 16. Is there someone who'd like to read that one for us?
You must keep the Sabbath a special day, like the Lord your God commanded. Work 6 days a week and do your job. The seventh day is a day of rest in honor of the Lord your God. On that day, no one should work. Not you, your sons, your daughters, foreigners living in your city, or your men in the place. Not even the cattle, donkeys, and other animals.
Keep going through verse 15.
Don't forget that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out of Egypt with his great power and made you free. That is why the Lord your God commands you to always make the Sabbath a special day.
That's interesting. Your version says, make Sabbath a special day. Very interesting translation for that. Okay. So we've gone through a number of biblical arguments, biblical discussions around Sabbath, what work is. But today what I'd like to do is to hear from you guys stories of how Sabbath has been a blessing to you. Kind of the specialness that Sabbath has been. And the more specific you can make your stories, the better. Can you think of a specific example where Sabbath has been a particular blessing? For example, I remember in graduate school, one summer I was taking summer courses, and I took too many credits, really, for 8 weeks. Courses. And so I was in class. My first class was at 7 a.m. and my last class ended at 9:45 at night, and I had maybe an hour or two break in between classes all day. And there were a number of other students who were doing similar kinds of things, and so we'd study together and work together to try to get through this. And I remember telling them on Friday in the afternoon, I'd quit, I'd go home. They would say, you're crazy, you know, not do well. I was taking a research statistics course that summer, which was very difficult for me. I'm good with math, but statistics is not math, it's something else. Still don't know what it is. It was very difficult. But I said, no, I said, you know, I'm going to take Sabbath off. I think it's good for me. I think it's good for my mind and my body and my heart. And so I took Sabbath off. The other students continued to study. I'd rejoin them on Sunday morning early.
It was interesting to me. I felt like I was I stayed healthy in that time. Of course, I had a good pick for Stephanie and the kids. All they would do is cook for me and bring me food during the day. And that time was not me. So that helped. But I did great in my classes. And not every student in those classes did well. And I just, you know, I don't know that Sabbath was the cause for that, but it was a blessing to me. And something that I'll never forget. And I attempted to keep working on these big projects like a house. Look at these beautiful hours I can be working. So that's one specific story from my experience, how Sabbath was blessed.
Ron?
What do you guess?
Ron? I have a similar story. Growing up, Sabbath was just a thing that you did. You could not do it, but it was just what you did. It was tradition. I didn't really question it too much. My freshman year at college in the dorm, there were many people who did rest on Sabbath, and they'd put away their textbooks and, you know, just take a break from their studies. But there were also people that didn't put away their books, and they were studying in their rooms and cramming for tests and writing papers. And I could see the different level of stress on the faces of people walking down the hall, and could almost tell which ones took a break on Sabbath and which ones didn't. Just seeing the stress on their face, the ability to not worry about the paper because, well, it can wait till Sunday morning, is just amazing difference in happiness, in stress, in lots of different areas while going through school. So I can totally relate to both sides, because I had people tell me, you're not going to do well because you're not studying for this exam, or you're not going to finish that paper on time, or, you know, whatever. But God blesses.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Didn't have to do chores on Sabbath growing up at home.
So what were some of your chores?
Normally it's yard work, weeding, sweeping, dishes, landscaping. Hold on a second. Childhood chores.
All right. I don't know if you guys at home could hear. Mike was saying Sabbath was a blessing growing up, because he didn't have to do his chores, his daily chores. So he appreciated that. Somebody else? I'm going to come close so the guys at home can hear you.
I said, I know I have a hard time keeping the rest that we're supposed to take on that day, on a specific day, on Saturday or whatever. Because those are my days where I can make up for the time I'm working. You know, so it's like, it keeps you in that vicious ball of constantly doing something. And like what she was saying, even the studying, I never even thought about it like that. So if I study on a certain day, that's resting, right? Well, apparently not.
Well, it might be for you.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I've been kind of getting mine is I'll get in the books, read word or something, you know, and just that's my way of resting or whatever, or I'll take half a day. I try to make up for it somewhere or another, whether it's a whole like physical day that we look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it like okay, half a day. I'll work half a day this day and half a day this day and makes a whole day in between or something. I come up with every excuse there is just to try to figure out how to keep it. But the bottom line is what Anna said, it's that rest.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting that peace and that just, for when you come back, you're ready to go. You know, mm-hmm. I mean.
More productive after. Yeah, yeah.
It makes a big difference.
It does. Thank you, Rob. Somebody else. Sally.
I can relate with the schoolwork. So I was in graduate school. I was really stressed for reasons unknown. There's a lot of study, a lot of stuff to do. And the Sabbath always gave me permission to set that aside. And I kind of feel that way even today when there's so much going on in the world. And it weighs on my mind a lot. But on Sabbath, it's like, God's got this.
Wow. Thank you, Sally.
Yeah.
So just a rest from the overbearing pressure of living in this world in this strange time. Sabbath gives you a rest from that. Fantastic. Somebody else? Can you think of a Sabbath day that was a particular blessing to you? You guys aren't very convincing today. I was listening to this and thinking about, should I worship on Sabbath or not? Does it make a difference for you? And how does it make a difference?
The Bible tells us that God said there's a blessing in it. Well, what's a blessing? Blessings are good things, right? So most Adventists have better health than the average population in America. Is that a blessing? You better believe it's a blessing. Because then you're spending less money on doctor visits and health issues and drugs and things. And then Adventists and other people that follow God's word, Mormons are pretty close to that, but we live somewhere, the statistics vary, somewhere between 10 and 15 years longer. Okay, and we say, well, it's because of diet, it's because of this. No, it's because we're honoring God and we're obeying his rules, his commandments. And so there's a blessing in following God. And if you follow God, he says that he wants to bless you. He wants to keep your property safe. He wants to keep you safe. He wants to make your marriage good. He wants you to do well financially. He wants you to do well educationally. He wants to keep your mind right. And, you know, all of these things are blessings. How many people do you know that have had Alzheimer's at age 30? I've seen it. No. It's pathetic. So if they live to be 70 and you have Alzheimer's over 50% of your life, that's not a blessing.
No. Yeah. So John is referring to a study, a book that was published called The Blue Zones. So some of you heard of that? And in the study, they looked at areas in the world where people outlived sort of the normal lifespan and had higher quality of life. Maybe one of the rest of you can speak to that and know more about that than I do. Go ahead, Thomas.
I don't know if I'm speaking to what this mentioned, but I will tell you my growing up years on the ranch during the summertime and busy haying season, you know, you got to get the in before the rain hits on it. And every Friday night at sundown, you know, all our equipment would stop and start again till Sunday morning. I know all the neighbors thought we were nuts. But, you know, I don't know that I can put my finger on an exact blessing other than this, the restorative rebuilding of physical strength that a day of rest made. but it was Sabbath was always welcome to celebration, working hard all week.
A welcome celebration after working hard all week. Yeah, no doubt. Okay.
Ron, I'd like to share another story if I could.
Please.
After we moved to Orcas Island, one summer, because, you know, as we all know, housing is not easy to find. One summer we found housing, a work exchange type program with a local Jewish family. And they are culturally Jewish. They didn't really attend or worship on Sabbath and that type of thing. And when we first, you know, were talking to them about this, they were saying, you know, well, what if we are, they knew that we took the Sabbath seriously. Said, what if we're gone, you know, what would you feed the animals on the farm Sabbath morning? And, you know, this type of thing, kind of find out what our understanding of keeping the Sabbath was. And I said, I am not going to make the horse suffer and starve because it's Sabbath, but I'm not going to go out and weed the flower beds either. And, you know, that type of not making another suffer because of my belief versus things that can wait until Sunday seemed to strike a balance that they understood. And they were never gone on a weekend, but they were glad to have the contingency and the peace in knowing that the animals wouldn't suffer if they did. But the difference in their attitude, and sometimes looking at their face as we were leaving to head to church on Sabbath morning, and they realized that they could have the same break that we had type of thing, but they weren't choosing to take it. It was just an amazing testimony to me of the power of the Sabbath.
Interesting. Yeah, thank you for that story. So they were close to it and could kind of taste it, but weren't embracing it. Interesting. Okay. Somebody else?
My experience with Sabbath keeping, I started keeping the Sabbath when I went to prison 4 years ago. And by honoring that Sabbath and spending time in God, you know, when I would plan a Saturday to do something, God would intervene and show me that I wasn't supposed to be doing anything of that sort. So my lessons have progressed through these last 4 years to honor the Sabbath completely. And by doing that, God has honored me and blessed me and restored me to where I was before my addiction began 30 years ago. So you asked for specifics. I can't really give you a specific Sabbath because every one of them blessed me.
Interesting. Now, did you start keeping the Sabbath when you went into jail or before you?
When I went.
And how did you decide to do that?
By reading the Bible.
Interesting.
And the Bible says, and then there was a Seventh-day Adventist group who was doing a Bible study every Saturday morning. And we became very close through the years. And I was led to the Seventh-day Adventist church from Stafford Creek, and then Walla Walla, there was volunteers going in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, logical mind, it makes sense if you believe in what the Bible says.
But in your life, you see that as a critical piece in your recovery and in your restoration. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, Sam. Yeah. Anybody else? Anna, Stephanie is suggesting you tell Tim's Sabbath story. Do you know Tim's Sabbath story?
I hesitate to tell anyone else's story, so I don't know it well enough to share. If she has that idea that it should be shared, maybe she should share Tim's Sabbath story.
How about this? Next time you guys see Tim, ask him for his Sabbath story. If he gets, you know, 10 of us asking for his story, that'll be something. Anybody else? A Sabbath story. Mike's got another one. Thank you, Mike.
There's a gentleman I know, and he lives in Fort Smith, Montana, and he was the pastor of the little Baptist church there, which is similar to ours in size and scope and
interesting
and whatnot. And just through studying the scriptures, he came upon the Sabbath question. They were a Sunday meeting church there. I had a chance when Haley and I were first going out, we would hire guides, and he happened to be the one that we got most of the time. And found out we were Sab keepers, and he borrowed a bunch of Bakioki's books and Auntie Ellen's books. And then later he said he had set up a meeting with his ministerial director, kind of the equivalent of our conference office or whatnot, because he had some real questions about the day of worship. And so he presented his findings and was just asking it as a question, you know, like, why do we keep Sunday? And the head guy of their conference says, well, you know, Hale, you're coloring outside the lines now.
And, coloring outside the lines.
They fired him.
Ooh.
And we started a little Sabbath home church, and then one in Sheridan, and then one in Billings. It really affected his income. He became partners in the outfitter that he guided, you know, for. And so it turned out to be a huge blessing financially, you know, for him. He actually came and spoke to our church, as some of you remember, maybe about 10 or 12 years ago. So he's not an Adventist. Although I think he is, but he's definitely a Sabbath keeper. And it was just personal study by coming from a Baptist minister, and that's your source of income and your seminary and all that. I thought that was kind of a miraculous story.
That's putting a lot on the line.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting story. Great story. Thank
We're
you.
All coloring outside the line sometimes.
When I color, it's most of the time. Outside the lines.
Ron, may I share one more?
Oh, please.
Let's see here. How long have we been on island?
2004? Is that
right? Okay. So about 2 years before then. Because I spent about 1 year on Whidbey Island. About 2 years before then, Brian and I, through various circumstances, were both without jobs in Spokane. And I wanted to, because I'd been processing mortgage loans, I wanted to find another job in that field because I was really good at it. But he was sick and tired of what he'd been doing and wanted something different. Because we were both out of a job at the same time, we were basically running around to interviews and both filling out applications and stuff for the same jobs. And there was this company called ICT that basically is sort of like what Frontline Call Center does as far as the agents. We were going to be customer service agents for another company. ICT would say, okay, Virgin Mobile needs people, this company needs people, and we were applying for a job doing cell phone customer service for Virgin Mobile. During the interview process and the testing process, and I didn't really want the job. I had a major headache that day, so I was going, there's no way they're going to hire me, because they kept emphasizing all of these different things about, you know, how competent you needed to be and stuff like that. And during the interview process, they were saying, you know, the people who've been here longer get the better shifts. So at first you're going to have weekends and nights and, you know, all of this stuff. And I said, that's fine, other than sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. And they were going, well, you know, if you don't agree to work those hours, we can't hire you. And I was going, well, I can't work those hours. Well, eventually they hired me and they tried scheduling me for that shift. And the strangest thing happened. With no other symptoms, my voice disappeared before the shift. So I had to call in sick that first Friday night that they scheduled me. And it happened the second Friday night they scheduled me. And by this time, they decided that maybe they didn't want me on Friday nights. But I would just not be able to talk. I could hear just fine. I didn't have a sore throat. I mean, I just couldn't talk those nights. And they had me write some type of a letter and had my pastor write some type of letter and stuff for my personnel file. But it was just, okay, this lady said she couldn't work from this time to this time. And every time we try to schedule her there, her voice goes out. So it's hard to answer the phone and answer questions if you can't talk.
That's an interesting story. All right, I just want to welcome Andy. And Andy, glad you're with us at some undisclosed location.
We just passed the Adventist Church on Whidbey Island. And I was like, hey, maybe we can crash their Zoom.
Well, Andy, we're just sharing Sabbath stories, stories of how Sabbath has been a blessing to us. And I think Sally's got one, and then Steve's got one. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Sally.
It's not really a story, but a comment. I don't know if anyone has read the book by Senator Joe Lieberman, The Gift of Rest, Rediscovering the Beauty of the Sabbath.
I remember it.
Yeah.
I didn't read it.
Several years ago. It gave me a really good perspective because he is a practicing Jew and, you know, his life kind of revolved around that. He lived close enough in Washington that he, on Fridays, would leave early and walk home before Sabbath started. And he looked forward to and he planned the specialness that Sabbath is. And I've always wanted to do that too.
Thank you, Sally, for sharing that. All right, Steve.
I was raised in an Adventist home. Went to a small K-8 school that had about 60 kids total. And my family was the only family which was practicing Adventist or even Adventist, let alone practicing in the community. And so when we went to school, I chose not to, family chose not to involve me in the Friday night games that happened every week. So we would often play, you know, either baseball, softball, basketball, whatever the case may be. So by the time I got to seventh grade, in such a small school, we would play all the surrounding schools, and they needed more basketball players. And I wasn't available because, well, not that I was that good, but just the sheer fact that they needed another body on the court. So they decided to ask me to play. I said no. And so they decided to shift the games that the school I was a part of from Friday nights to another day of the week, which meant every other school in the district had to make the adjustment as well. And they did that for both my seventh and eighth grade. And they did that for my brother who followed me afterwards. So there was no controversy. There was no push or real pressure on it. But just by simply being a person who said, this is what I do and how I do it, it was amazing that the entire system chose to adapt.
That is really amazing. Yeah. You know, it's, we consider that happening someplace else here, maybe. highly unlikely.
I'd love to see Steve on the basketball court soon.
Here's the sad thing is I went out and played basketball just on the garage hoop with my nephews the other, oh, several years ago, and it was horrible. I forgot how to do everything.
I know the feeling.
Thank you, Steve, for sharing. That's a great story. Anybody else? John. Yeah, Desmond Doss.
I forget which island they're going shore, but there's the one where he saved 75 people on the Sabbath. And when that invasion, that South Pacific Island that day, and it turned out to be a Sabbath morning, they decided to start the invasion. And Desmond Doss had by that time made some fame about how he was so courageous and he kept the Sabbath and wouldn't carry any arms. And he started to gain the respect of people. The story is told that at that time there were about 600 war vessels off the coast of the island ready to pummel it with long-range shells. And they said, they asked his unit, he said, "Are you ready to go?" And his commander said, "No, why not?" He said, "Desmond Doss isn't ready yet. He's praying." He said, "Praying for what? Whether or not he should join us to go ashore, and my men won't go ashore without him." So we're talking about several hundred guys. And he said, "Desmond Doss is praying?" And he said, "Yes. When would we be through?" He didn't say. The invasion was held up, so then the fleet commander said, "We're not going ashore yet. Not all the troops are ready." "Why?" "There's a medic who is praying." Well, Desmond Doss prayed, and after an hour, God said that he would be saving lives. And this was God's order for him to go ashore with his men. And the invasion was held up at the order of the fleet commander for a full hour because Desmond Doss was praying on Sabbath morning. Were they blessed?
Yeah.
Yeah, you say 75 Americans plus two Japanese that day.
Amazing story. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Dana, did you have something to share with us? Looked like you were getting ready to read something. Andy, do you have a story for us? A Sabbath story?
Well, what comes to mind is when I had really kind of left the tradition of Seventh-day Adventism and just Christianity that my family had raised me with, and going through a few washer cycles of life, I realized I had accepted Christ as my Savior, but I hadn't accepted the Sabbath or even the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because I was kind of reticent. Anyway, but I had a friend who would come and see me. We'd play guitar, we'd play chess. And he never really talked about church or God. We would talk about God because I was a Christian at that point. But he wasn't pushing any doctrine or anything. And I heard a great sermon on this week at the Oregon camp meeting, the Gladstone camp meeting. That's been virtual. And there's a guy that talks about Paul's sermon. And he's saying that the world today, it's not where Christendom is trying to hold on to the realm. You know, we're in Athens in terms of society today. And he mentions Paul's sermon. And so my friend didn't come talk to me about the 27 or 28 fundamental beliefs or anything. But I just knew, because I'd been raised, we kept the Sabbath strictly. My grandmother, you know, led us in that. But anyway, so I was working at a dog kennel. I was one of the best jobs I've ever had. And I was taking care of about 50 dogs. And I remember that one day I decided, okay, I need to go to church on Sabbath. I need to keep the Sabbath, because that's the next thing that God was kind of speaking to my heart about, convicting me on. So I need to go to church. So I, you know, closed the kennel, which is a big business day for dog kennels. And so I went to church, beautiful sermon, lots of fellowship. I was so happy. And I came back to the kennel later that afternoon, and my neighbor, he's like, dude, man, you had a lot of customers. There's probably about 15 cars that came here and parked, and you weren't here. So I know I lost maybe $500 that day. And I was so upset with God, because I was like, you want me to keep the Sabbath, and I kept the Sabbath, and this is the way you pay me back. And so I was angry for 2 or 3 weeks. I didn't go back. But then, you know, the Spirit was speaking to my spirit, and my, you know, I was convicted again. And I was like, you went for the wrong reasons. You went for a reward. You know, you went just to comply. No, you know, you go because that's what you're supposed to do. And so I went, and I just went, and I said, Lord, if I lose money, I lose money, but I need to do what's right. And so I went to the church. And again, everything was really nice. I come back, and my neighbors, I asked him, maybe he told me, he said, no, you didn't seem to have a lot of customers today. It's like, that's fine. Now, usually I was closed on Sundays, okay? But the day after, I got so many customers, and it was like a confirmation of God saying, look, you know, if you do the right thing for the right reason, I'm going to bless you. Not just doing the right thing because you're trying to, you know, please me or do a check mark off a list. So that really made a big impression on me. And I realized that no matter what, you know, I want to keep the Sabbath and cost what it costs. But that's what comes to mind. And the Sabbath is so special. You know, it's funny because the boys are working now. And, you know, a couple of days ago or whenever it was, one of the boys said, man, I can't wait till Sabbath. You've been working hard this summer.
Oh, thank you for sharing that story. Yeah, and it's fun to see your kids begin to experience some of that blessing. You know, they've grown up in a family that's taken the Sabbath off, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily experience the joy. But now they're getting a little taste of that. Interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Well, we're going to wrap up our discussion this morning. Thank you for sharing. And we're going to be continuing our journey through other fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we'll be having some guest presenters from time to time. And it should be good. And so that's kind of where we're headed from here. So I'm going to close with prayer, and then we'll probably take 5 minutes or so to get reset and